Isn't it, to celebrate a party, and having a Christmas party in April is pretty good, actually, Bruce, isn't it, really? Yeah, absolutely. And we've just heard in that reading just before another party that was happening a couple of thousand years ago as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. One of those parties that had an edge to it, I guess, because of what then happened afterwards. But it is good, isn't it, to have a party. There's a very telling phrase just before the end of that reading. In fact, I think it was almost the last verse that Jesus said as he entered Jerusalem. He said this: "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The Pharisee had just sort of said to Jesus, you know, stop all this fuss. You know, this isn't on. This shouldn't be happening. And he was basically saying, actually, if they stopped, even the stones on the side of the road would be shouting out for me, which I think is really, really interesting. Such was the impact of Jesus, basically. That's the impact he had over that 3 years, and also in those forming years that he had as he was a young man growing up. One of the things that I wondered was, I wonder what those stones had witnessed over the years. Just a couple of things that came to mind. They would have witnessed Solomon. Remember Solomon building that first temple? They'd have witnessed that. They'd have witnessed various invasions by lots of different armies, Romans more recently. They would have witnessed the day-to-day cycle of worship in that Jewish temple. They would have witnessed another Israelite king, not Solomon this time, but David, slaying the Philistine Goliath. But on this occasion, what did they witness? They witnessed a humble man on a mission with his friends, immediately preparing to celebrate the Passover, but actually in the end preparing for his death. They would have also welcomed or witnessed a man being cheered and welcomed by the crowds and his disciples, but a few days later, the opposite, a man being rejected and spurned. What a change. That's the context of our reading this morning of our Palm Sunday. And I was just thinking, okay, we can talk about that until the cows come home, but I want to think about an application. What two things I'd like you to take away with today as we think about that story that struck me? The first one is stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. You know, sometimes we have to stand up. Those disciples, in the days after Palm Sunday, they disappeared. They couldn't cope with what was happening to Jesus at the time. And I suspect if I was there, I'd have been amongst them. I'm sure perhaps most of us would have said that. But sometimes we do have to take a stand, don't we, as a Christian, no matter how unpopular that might be. Now, I'm not talking about the great headline issues which are around at the moment, but it's sometimes making a stand when our values, those values which as Christians are common to us all, when they get threatened, when they get pushed in some way, sometimes it's making a stand in that kind of way. So sometimes it's about being true, isn't it, to the values of our faith, the values of this church. Just to remind you, living God's love is our mission in our community, in our worship, and in our prayer. So that might mean very practically making a stand and taking an issue in areas like fairness, supporting those who are less fortunate or the poor, selfishness, mental health, well-being, actually the church making a stand locally and actually saying, we believe these are fundamental for us as Christian people locally here that we want to make a stand on. Jesus used phrase like, you should be salt. Like salt in a meal makes it more tasty, doesn't it? And he's saying, make yourself, well, it can do. Somebody said no, but it can do. Wet seasoning, generally speaking, makes a meal. It gives flavor often. Or light in a darkness. Those are phrases that Jesus often used. And as a result of being salt or seasoned, being seasoned people or being light in darkness, the result can be that others are helped and supported. So the question for me and for us this week is, what might that mean for us this week? Where can we be salt and light? Where can we make a stand? So I'll let you think about that. The second thing that came out for me as I was pondering on this Palm Sunday was there's something about cultivating joy and positivity, particularly when the going gets tough. They didn't do that, those disciples. They eventually did. And gosh, you know, once Jesus left and ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came, they were transformed, those disciples. But at that particular point, there was no cultivating joy or positivity during tough times. Those stones that we started with had witnessed immense suffering over the years in terms of the Israelite people. I don't know if you saw a couple of weeks ago, we recorded this, a program on the telly where it was, I think it's on BBC 4, where Desmond Tutu met the Dalai Lama. Didn't anyone see that? It's really worth having a look at that. I think it's about an hour and a quarter. What it focused on was the friendship between Archbishop, or Arch as he was called, Desmond Tutu in South Africa, and the Dalai Lama, who is the leader of the Buddhist faith within Tibet. There are a few different sort of strands of Buddhism, but that was one of the main ones. Both are, I guess, obviously Tutu has died sadly recently, but both were major leaders within their own communities. Both had witnessed enormous suffering throughout the years. Tutu had obviously grown up through the apartheid time and was one of those staunch people who stood with others against that horrendous regime that was there at the time. And the Dalai Lama grew up during the time when China invaded Tibet and basically put a dampener on all religious practice, including Buddhism. Really, really interesting. But what struck me about both of them was the immense joy and friendship they had for each other and the positivity that just kind of shone in each of them. Jesus was about to embark on a horrific week, ending in, as we know, a really cruel death. But inwardly, what we noticed through reading those gospel accounts was that he remained calm and inwardly joyful. He was alone, as people, even his closest friends, abandoned him. There's something for me, as witnessed by those two, Tutu and the Dalai Lama, there's something about how we support one another when the going gets tough, and it will get tough. Life is going to get tough. Often life is tough for us, for some of us now. But there is something about how we cultivate in each other that calmness, that inner joy and positivity, particularly when the going gets tough. And when the going is rocky. It takes real courage, doesn't it, to, going back to our mission statement as a church, to live God's love. It takes real courage to do that. It took courage for Desmond Tutu and Dalai Lama to embrace each other at a deeper level and to see their difference positively. And they were different. But they saw that in a positive light and enjoyed the connection that was there, the deep, deep connection, the human connection between them. It takes courage to ask for help when we're low, for whatever reason. Same question as I asked in that first section. What might this bit mean, this seeking to live positively, seeking to as I said, cultivate joy when things are difficult. What might that mean for you and me this week? I'm going to finish there. I'm not going to say any more, and I'm just going to have a moment or two of quietness, and then I'll say a prayer. Creator God, for this community of which we are a part here, and a wider community of God's people throughout the world. We thank you for each other, for the support and help we give to each other as we seek to stand firm in our faith and live courageously with each other and outside of this building. We pray that you would strengthen us as we seek to live courageously, as we seek to stand firm. Give us that vision and give us that energy to enable us to be salt and light wherever we go. For Christ's sake, amen.